achieve. Now you're going to put Washington in the major position in the Federal Reserve System, and you'll regret it, Ralph. That kind of and even later when I saw him years after he had retired in New York, he would still say that it was a mistake to let the leadership of the Fed move from New York. That's the financial center of the world and should be the center of the Federal Reserve System. Well, politically, you know damn well that couldn't happen. That's all I could answer him, and that was Bill Martin's attitude as well, that you could not maintain that kind of relationship. It had to come down to Washington leadership.
So, I mean, Sproul wasn't so much the Fed against the Treasury as it was New York against Washington.
Yeah. Well, we talked, I think, about the time somewhere along in that old discussion that Allen caucused all of the Federal Reserve Bank presidents apart from an FOMC meeting, and that became known. Whether he then announced it or what, I don't recall. Maybe he didn't even hear. But it was well known that he had tried to get them to assert some leadership in here. But all we were trying to do, from my standpoint, I should use Allen's technique, because he writes so beautifully, and he says, now this is a one-sided account in his article, and mine is certainly a one-sided one. But all I could think of was that this business of maintaining stability gave full power to the desk and in the hands of guys that I didn't really have much confidence in. And what we led to was the phrase correcting disorderly markets. I'm sure you found that mm-hmm. somewhere in your reading.
Oh, sure.
This is what led to the bills only policy. It led to supplying or withdrawing reserves only on securities of 1 year or shorter maturity, as I recall.
When you mentioned Sproul caucusing the Reserve Bank presidents, when was that?
I would think in 52 or 53.
That's when the debate was going on over whether to have the New York desk report directly to the FOMC, i.e. Martin, or whether it should continue to report to Sproul.
Right.
I guess
that was no problem, but it was a deeper, well, more basic problem that.
Well, I think it was a problem. I mean, it was very emotional with Sproul. That.
Well, I don't think Martin pushed it to any great extent, but again, he might have in private talks that I don't.
Well, yeah, that was after you left. After you left the Fed, I've seen some kind of internal documents and so on that are very. I think that's probably my guess, just from reading the language. That was probably the main thing that caused Sproul to decide to retire, having lost that battle,
mm-hmm.
Because. Really felt strongly that if he wanted to run monetary policy, it had to be done by somebody who had his ear to the market all the time and could keep kind of adjusting things, moving the yield curve around. And of course,
but if that's what you were going to do, that that probably had to be in New York.
Tone and feel. That was what he apparently.
Oh.
Well, that's fascinating. So, this study you mentioned, I would think our library would have it. If not, it would be in the archives.
Well, it's got to be in the archives. I'm quite sure I have one in my desk in New York. If you can't find it, I'll call my secretary and see if she can
Okay, what would
my desk.
Would it be listed under authors? I mean, was would it be listed by title or?
I wouldn't know how it was listed, honestly. It was a study done, I'm sure, in late 62 or early 63.
62 or 52?
52.
52, yeah.
Yes, obviously, 52 or 3.
Yeah.
The first page, I'm sure, mentions, first page or two, mentions this depth, breadth, and stability phrase. That's the one that just happened to be Don Riefler's initials, and that's what I accused Wynn of using as memory jogger.
That's funny.
By this time, Don was working for me in New York, so I'd gotten used to the DBR address.
Yeah.
But I'd.
Okay, I'll check our archives. It must be down there.
I can't even think of what the title might have been, but it's certainly related to open market operations of the Federal Reserve System and its effect on markets or something.
And tell me again, who was Bob Kraft? You said he.
Bob Kraft was vice president and treasurer of the Guaranty Trust Company before the merger with J.P. Morgan. And he was the bank gave him a leave of absence of about 3 months to come down to Washington and go through this series of discussions. He was sort of the leader on the Fed side of the discussions, and I was the special assistant on it, and we got to know each other very well in that period, worked pretty well together. His name might be on it, but I think if there's one name on it, it would be Wynn Riefler.
Okay, yeah, I can check that. Okay, well, that's good advice.